Turn your tax refund into a new garage door at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Increase your home's value with a new Ideal garage door. From traditional to modern, Menards has a garage door to enhance your home's appearance. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door design program. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
What must people think? Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think. And well, since we last spoke, there's a cheeky little war broken up. No, it hasn't broken up yet. I don't know. I should probably timestamp it here because it's one of those weeks. It's Monday the 2nd of March at 11 a.m. and Operation Epic Fury is breaking out in the Middle East. It's very serious, but obviously this is a topical comedy podcast. My job is to try and make jokes where possible. I hope you understand that. And Davina Bentley making her debut. What a week to make your debut on the podcast.
Yeah, I thought I'd come when there was not much to talk about.
You got lots of jokes about war?
Well, my comedy club gold about World War III, yeah. It's all like locked and loaded, ready to go.
That's exactly the kind of language Trump would use, you know? I mean, just with the name of the operation, Epic Fury, it's dripping in testosterone, isn't it? Epic Fury. I feel like it was called Operation Fury, and then one of the kind of gym bros at Mar-a-Lago went, how about we say Epic? And everyone went, yeah!
The thing is, it is a really, really good name. Like, if that was the film that was coming out at, like, you know, View Islington,
yeah,
I would 100% watch it. Like, that's a film you need to see in the cinema, big screen. That's a good film, right?
Yes. When I told my son that was what it called, I could see his eyes slightly get bigger. He kind of thought that was very cool that it was called Operation Epic Fury. I mean, it is weird. I mean, obviously, it would be one of the big subjects of this week, but it is weird with Trump. He's like, there's a certain crassness to the way that he talks about stuff, but it's also kind of honest as well. Like, you know, when they talk about, you know, we are limited military strike in certain areas. And when he just says, yeah, we're going to fucking get out of there. We're going to bomb the shit out of them. You go, I mean, that is sort of the point of war, really. It's a refreshingly honest take.
There is a like directness and a no bullshit to the things he says. The problem is that he's got no moral compass or like idea or like, cares about policy, cares about people. He just, and also is clearly very impulsive. But then I suppose if you juxtapose like the way that he's so down the line with Keir Starmer, it's like an interesting like take, yes, on how people speak, right?
Yeah, I remember after the Venezuela thing earlier this year, he said, none of our guys died and a lot of their guys died, which is good. You go, oh, that's an awful thing to say, but that is absolutely the fucking point of war, isn't it?
Yeah.
Less of our guys died than you. I mean, that's how wars happen. That's how they're won. I don't think we've got the space to sort of process Donald Trump even now, but we will create space for that later in the show. We're also going to talk about as well, I saw in the news today that the government are doing a consultation on a social media ban for under 16s. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know your politics specifically, Davina. You've been on the Times radio show a couple of times. I'm guessing you're a lot younger than me, so.
Very young.
Pathetic lefty, bleeding heart liberal.
Do you really think that?
No, I don't actually.
No, you don't. I've been on Times Radio like three times.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's for balance. I need to have you lot there for balance, you see.
So to sort of counteract your conservative with a small C-ness.
Yes, my radical centre-right, centrist dadness. But I guess we'll find out. The listeners will find out about your sort of political take as we go. And then in the Patreon-only section, we're going to be talking about dads because there was a clip of Bob Odenkirk. Apparently it's an old clip.
It's an old clip, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I'm a boomer, all
shown
right?
You've shown your age because I was like, that was out weeks. I was crying about that weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Stuff gets recycled and I did that thing. I sometimes think, why are people putting that up again? I've seen that, but I was being very boomerish and I thought, oh, I'll share this on the family group. And it's of him talking about being a dad. And, you know, I knew I'd kind of fucked up because loads of people were saying, oh, I love whenever this comes up. It's almost like a passive aggressive way of telling me that I've missed a boat on this.
Yeah.
But it's a good... Any good reason to talk about what it feels like to be a dad. There is not much cultural discussion of what it feels like to be a dad. So we'll get into that in the Patreon only. Piss take prices. Are you conscious of my campaign against overly priced things, Davina?
I am conscious of it. I'm aware that it's an age thing, right? I was trying to explain this to my mom. It's definitely
an age slams. That's two age slams, by the way. We're 5 minutes
in. No, but it's an own goal. It's an own goal to myself as well, okay? Because when I used to go to Topshop with my mom, she'd take me there. It was very nice. She'd always be like, how can this cost that? How can this cost that? And now I do exactly the same when I go into And Other Stories. It's just inflation. You haven't adjusted your brain for inflation.
Well, there is, but then what happened was obviously after the Ukraine invasion, there was hyperinflation, and then there's been inflation on top of that. So I do think we're in a generationally inflationary period. So things are genuinely significantly more expensive. Things haven't gone up.
Okay, fine. So you're saying it's not proportionate. So let's readjust our brains. I totally agree, but otherwise you'll just walk around going like, ooh, a pound for a Coke can. Like, we can't. What I'm saying is we're turning into my mum.
That is a lot for a Coke can. That is a lot for a Coke can, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Even you said, but, you know, it must be bizarre. Like, my wife's granddad is still with us, and he's like in mid-90s. Fucking everything must seem expensive to him. Just nothing must seem reasonably priced once you get beyond a certain age.
Exactly. So I'm trying so hard to fight this, but I did get a bottle of Coke, and I did balk. It was just before a gig, and it was something mental. It was like over a couple of quid for a gig in like Forest Hill. And I was like, this is really, you've gone into my profit margins.
Well, there's that. I mean, and where this started was I was at an airport. And I know, like, there's certain things, if you buy an airport or a hotel or an arena gig, you're going to expect to pay more. But it was a bottle of Sprite and it was $3.99. And
that's such a piss take.
I mean, that is a piss take price. And you sort of go like, even in the context of what this is, that's the point about a piss take price. I had somebody that, remember, if you want to share a piss take price with me, what most people thinkuk@gmail.com or do the hashtag on social media. There is somebody called Christopher. Christopher, he's brought up the fact that Tesco's are selling XL Colgate, right? Mm-hmm. £3.50 to members, £8.10 to non-members.
That has to be a mistake. Come on.
No. Tesco's are going aggressive with the, if you're not a member, we're essentially going to fucking punish you.
Punitive pricing for non-Tesco card holders.
No, the member thing is getting out of hand. They're all doing it to try to make you only shop with them. But now the point is, I don't know whether the £3 price is any good because it's compared to the £8.10.
The punitive pricing.
You've added a good dimension here, the punitive pricing.
Thank you.
So was that your thing recently, was a can of Coke?
No, the thing that pissed me off, and this is just an example. So do you know, have you heard of the shop And Other Stories?
I have not.
It's just like, it's owned by H&M, so it's the same company. So mm-hmm. it's posh H&M, but not as posh as COS. All of their jumpers, they're like made of plastic. So I had a look just now, 77 quid for an alpaca blend jumper. It's a third of this jumper is made of nylon, right? That's plastic. Mm. 77 quid.
I know, the problem is that the husband in me is now thinking, do you need that jumper? I mean, I'm just thinking of my wife thinking about buying that jumper, and I'd just be thinking, well, why are you buying more jumpers? Sorry, I could totally insert my situation
yourself
into that.
You projected. Well, let's see what happens when we get into the dad thing. Let's see what happens when we get to the Bob Odenkirk, dads don't get enough praise.
Yes.
We're going to talk about punitive measures.
You can take your revenge, absolutely. New patrons. So if you are a patron, you get the podcast early, ad-free, and with bonus content. I read out a bunch of new people on Friday. So I should remind you that among all the other benefits, I get the impression some people aren't doing this, but once you are a patron, the way that you get it ad-free is you get the RSS feed. Now, don't let your brain fog and get scared here, because people just go, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, RSS feed. It's very simple to find. But this is the main benefit. You paste it into your podcast app and you get my podcast. It gets delivered in the app that you normally get your podcast. That's what makes it good. I don't know if people know that about the patron offer. Did you know that, Davina?
No, that was me just sliding onto the floor when I heard.
This is good. You see, you're sort of like, I often have Francis Foster on this podcast and I bully him and you're sort of bullying me. And I think there'll be a lot of our female listeners that will be enjoying this. So the main talking point. So we have a super patron, David Domain, that keeps an eye on previous week's episode and elaborates with extra facts. So Boris Johnson, we were talking about how many kids he had. And do you remember that was a mainstay for all the lefty comics like you, with Usual gags. And I'm joking.
I know. I'm such an idiot that I really rise to it. Like, I've got two brothers. You'd think I would know to just hold my shit.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just for the benefit of people just listening, you sort of vibrated there when I trolled you again for being an out-and-out lefty, which you probably are. But David Domain, he says, regarding Boris Johnson's kids, you can be forgiven for being unsure of how many kids Boris Johnson has. The consensus is 9 known children, 4 with his current wife, Carrie. They knocked out 4 kids. That is busy, mate.
She's my age. She's very young.
Yeah, man. But 4 kids for anybody in this day and age, Jesus Christ, fair play.
Yeah, it's a lot. But, they're both wadded.
Yeah, they are. But, with the birth rate going down, Boris is single-handedly trying to raise that off the floor. He had 4 with his ex-wife, Marina, and 1 from an affair, as the BBC puts it. So 9. I mean, I always thought this, Davina, is that for a man to be, it's complicated because for a man to be virile and potent, whenever anybody mentioned that about Boris, I thought, I don't think you're doing the harm to him that you think you are. For everyone that thinks that that's terrible, there's a lot of people going, whoa, hey, go on, Boris.
Yeah, I suppose it's I think the cussing of the lefty joke was trying to be like, you're an irresponsible father. Because wasn't there one that he didn't quite take responsibility for?
I guess that might be the one from the affair, but...
It must have been that one. He'd probably take... But I'm sure, because I remember reading on Wikipedia, maybe when he'd only had 2 with, is it Carrie? Whatever she's called. Let's just say Carrie. She's a woman. She only gets 1 name. That was a joke.
Yeah, that's the old compliment. Carrie. She's just a Carrie. Just like Pele and Mandelson.
And Cher. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just one name. She's Madonna. But yeah, I'm sure he didn't take. So I think it was trying to be like, you're an irresponsible man. You're right. But it's calling him a sort of fuck boy. In a way that I don't think would impugn him.
But just the fact that he's that potent, I know it's like sort of grossly biological, but clearly...
You're so impressed by it. You're deeply impressed by the virility.
I'm honest about humans. We're primitive. We like, we're more likely to vote for tall leaders, right? People with deep voices.
Yeah, yeah.
And blokes that can literally look at a woman and make her pregnant from 20 yards.
I mean, that is what... That's what he did. I don't think it goes the other way, because if you meet a woman who's got, like, say, 4 children, you aren't like, God, look at the fertility on her.
Oh yeah, she's a disgrace. She needs to control herself.
Right.
So sorry, I don't know why I'm in this mood today. We were talking about Dublin. I made a scandalous assertion that Dublin is not a very pretty city, like architecturally. Brilliant people, city not so much. I'll get your view in a second, but David Domain says that Trinity College is beautiful, the library there, Christchurch Cathedral, St. Patrick's Cathedral, the Custom House is an 18th century neoclassical building, Bank of Ireland is a Palladian masterpiece, and Dublin Castle is a mixture of medieval Georgia and modern elements. What's your thoughts on how Dublin looks as a city?
It's really nice. I bumped into you in Dublin. You probably don't remember, I was doing a competition that added to its beauty. No, but look, bits of it are pretty. I think...
We bumped into each other in Dublin.
Yeah, I'd only met you once when I did that Hayden
Live. Oh, yeah, I remember, yes.
You're really nice.
Yes, the airport, yeah.
No, not the airport. Oh, fuck. No, but you're really nice. It's all right. I was there with my best mate. He's Irish. But he's right that, like, it's not a beautiful city like Edinburgh, but bits of it... Yeah, bits of it are really beautiful. Like the Seamus Heaney Museum, which I think is next to Trinity, is really beautiful. And also it doesn't matter because, like, the people are so great and the vibe is so fucking great, you kind of don't notice.
Maybe it's a flex that it's not beautiful because they're saying we don't need to be.
Right, because everyone's such a good vibe, yeah. It's not... look, Edinburgh is, like, really beautiful, but there's quite a, like... There can be quite a passive-aggressive, like, posh Edinburgh... is a different vibe, right? So probably pick this. It's not, most people would rather like have a night out in Dublin.
Yeah, and Edinburgh, I mean, now we're going to just hating on Edinburgh. Edinburgh outside the festival is like a British seaside town in November. There, I said it. I was talking about, now, you are, as I say, you're younger than me. I don't know if you remember TVAM, but I was talking about the sort of succession of British breakfast shows and who was on them. Mike Morris was the ginger guy who was one of the hosts on TVAM. But it was replaced in 1993 by GMTV, which ceased to be in 2010. I thought GMTV, this is one thing with being this old, I thought GMTV was a very recent thing that they got rid of. Oh, shit.
Maybe you just mixed it into This Morning.
Well, it became Daybreak, which became Good Morning Britain in 20...
Oh, sorry, okay.
In 2014, but that is a shocker to me of GMTV. I remember once, I was doing the Edinburgh Fringe, and they said to me, oh, this is so embarrassing. The PR, who'd done nothing for me, said, we've got you on GMTV. You've got to be up at Edinburgh Castle at this time. And I honestly thought in my fucking hubris I was going to be on the couch shooting the shit with Lorraine or whatever, like it was going to be an interview. Do you know what it was? They got about 20 different performers in a courtyard at the Edinburgh Festival, and they just went round you and went, do a bit of your act. And I had to do a bit of observational humour straight down the barrel at six. Oh, my God, I haven't mentioned that in years. Oh, fuck, throw a sting in as I just process that shame.
What most people think.
Thank you. Again, the gigs are just, the audiences are unreal. Last week, Leamington Spa was fantastic on Sunday, and Maidenhead. Geez, Maidenhead, normally the first half, they're very a bit reserved and a bit kind of like proper conservative, but even they were having it. I mean, I don't know what, maybe people need to laugh in these troubled times, trademark. But this is the thing, to be the part of the reason I'm mentioning it, is after Leamington Spa, there's loads of road closures coming up. And like just a pure dad mentality, I was obsessed with getting away ahead of that. So I did the show the normal length, but I had my bag by the side of the stage and I'd plotted my route out, right? But even so, I got out and there was a few people coming out and I got in my car, I put my collars up, put my glasses on, which is usually enough to go. But then a woman like walked in front of me and I know the degree to which she was shocked to see me in a car as she was walking to hers was a bit disproportionate. It was odd.
Like she couldn't believe you owned a car. Like how does
couldn't believe a guy on stage now in, I mean, we're talking maybe 90 seconds since I came off stage, right? If that, and then I'm suddenly in a car driving away. So I'll just say to that woman, I know that maybe you thought I fucking teleported or time traveled or something, but yeah, she just stood there, and then there was more and more people coming out, and I had to like gently get the fuck out of the way, love, seriously, like, you know,
you wanted to make good time, right? Like you're obsessed with getting home, making good time, getting beyond. I think that in itself is very daddish and hilarious. Like I think there is a male comedian vibe of like, I made really good time and trying to beat Google Maps.
See, the listenership to this podcast, they're so with me right now. They're just going, what a leader of men that he'd actually plotted his route. I'd practiced it. I'd done a practice. I literally did a practice run. But the thing was, Davina, if the difference between leaving at a certain time, like the road closures at the moment are fucking mental, is it was the difference of half a... Yeah,
I completely believe it, but it's just that, and I can sort of relate to it, but I'm a bit scared of driving on the motorway, so I don't drive to like regional gigs. But it's just the thing of like, I was in a green room in Bristol and there's a really nice comic called Matt Rouse, and he was just sort of talking about like making good time, and I was like, is that, he didn't use that phrase, but I was like, are you talking about making good time? And he was like, yeah. And like just, there's definitely a thing about male comedians trying to beat Google Maps timing. It's a race.
Yeah, and also, if you are a man that can, I can navigate pretty much around most of the country without needing sat-nav.
That's quite impressive. It's quite impressive.
Well, hopefully it is, but it's sort of, and the more time goes, as generations of men will never know that, I hope it makes me seem like a wizard. By the time I'm 90, I'll just go, they'll go, how the fuck do you know this? How do you instinctively know that from where you are in Cambridgeshire, the best way to the West Midlands is A1, A14, M6. You know, well, I just do know it.
When the apocalypse comes, that's genuinely a really useful skill.
Yes, yeah. All it needs is for Elon to get the fucking hump and then just sort of take Starlink down. And then it'll be me. I'll be like Gandalf the Grey, but for roots.
I know what that is, but I've never seen more than Lord of the Rings, but fine. You know roots.
You've done some good girl points in the last 5 minutes. You've said that you're scared to drive on motorways and you didn't know who Gandalf was.
Like, I know who he is, you know, as a cultural figure. I know it's not, it's, what's his fucking name?
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen being like, you should not pass. I know, I just don't want to watch, I don't want to watch those films.
That's fair. That's fair.
I want to watch Epic Fury instead.
We all want to watch Epic Fury. Have you got a fuck you?
Yeah, I do. Okay. The fucking four lads who were probably coked up off their faces. So I emceed at the Gaff in Bristol, which is a really nice gig. Great gig, but they just would not shut the fuck up. It's always the same. It's always four geezers. And I think it's just that classic thing of a girl on stage, all they want to do is impress each other, which is fine. Just go to the pub and shout out shit at the pub. Don't do it when I'm at work. So that was annoying, but sorted it out. Fine. They shut up. Every break, security like had to have a word with them. And then the same thing again at my gig on Saturday night, first gig at Big Belly, delicious, lovely, like all full of girls, did loads of new shit, they loved it. Second gig, four blokes from Middlesbrough in the front row would not shut the fuck up. One of my setup lines says that I'm 37. As I say it, they're like, oh, fucking hell. And it was like, just shut the fuck up.
So is the setup line, imagining as a comic, you're going somewhere self-deprecating with that.
Yeah.
And so it's doubly annoying that they've called, oh, I'll get in there. I've noticed something that I can take the mickey out of here, when you were literally on the way to do that yourself.
It's also my opening gag. And also,
yeah,
I wish in that moment that I looked like you, like just an aggy guy, because they just, in my view, they just wouldn't do it. Or when I, and then when I go in for them, which I often do, sometimes I'll go too hard and then it does look quite classist. Yeah. So it's quite a hard balancing act.
The thing I would say is, if you're going to go classist, just don't hold back. Just double, just do everything that you're supposed to do if you're doing that. I think, you know, so I always remember, like, Simon Evans, one of my favourite gags of his was when he said, if you're wondering where this accent comes from, it's educated. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
In comedy, there's always so much more value from just going, yeah, you are piece of shit. I mean, in a weird way, I kind of like admire, like, that there's guys that still do. I mean, it's 2026. There are loads of female comics. There have been female comics on telly for a while, but there are still blokes who, when a female comes out, go, oh, here we go. Like, it's,
I know.
It's like me thinking that GMTV was until recently, is that they still think that is somehow surprising.
I think it's a subconscious bar. I think they wouldn't think. They'd be like, yeah, no, I love God. And then I made this orgasm joke. And then one of them kept going, what's an orgasm? What's an, and it was just like not working, and he kept repeating it. It was just like, all you need to do in this moment is just shut the fuck up. But I think it is that thing of, I think it's just the power play of, like, how dare you think that you can come and, like, make us laugh? Because the thing about us, we're pretty fucking funny and we say shit.
And the good thing is I've noticed that even in a room of blokes, is if a bloke interrupts a female comic, like, if you slam them, people are generally with you, and you can do anything you want at that point. You can emasculate them and say they've got a small penis, you know, like, everything's
to play for. Yeah,
everything to play for. But it would just be nicer if you didn't have to do it in the first place.
It's just, yeah, it's just boring. It's crowd control.
Okay. Yeah, just looking at the time, we should probably move into the first subject. No.
Seems like you're one of the four guys from Middlesbrough. See that they've inspired you.
Oh, I love, shut up, fucking hell, she's in a luteal phase. Okay, we're going to do the first subject here. We're going to start with the US-led invasion, airstrikes on Iran, Epic Fury. Let's just look back. There were talks, weren't there? There were talks. It was building up. We knew that there was an American armada in the Straits of Johor. I've just made that up. But, you know, in that sea there. And the fear was, or the ongoing long fear was about nuclear and, you know, the fact that the Iranians were still enriching that uranium. It's always been their dream, you know, in a weird way. I don't want them to have nuclear weapons, but everyone needs a dream, right? And they've always wanted a nuclear weapon. But then the talks apparently expanded to ballistic missiles, because obviously nuclear weapon is bad, but Iran could still just hit loads of cities with ballistic missiles. And, you know, if you look at Iran, there's been a lot of death to the West, death to America. They want to sort of destroy the Israeli state, not brilliant with gay rights and stuff for women. I mean, just, you know, not a fan, I'm going to say, Davina.
You're not a fan of the Iranian regime? Or what was
no,
the Iranian regime?
You know, but I'm also not sure that you talk about rights for women and gays. I'm not sure that was Donald's principal focus going into this. I can't presume to speak for him, though.
You know? Should never assume another man's politics. I think it's it's sort of like going back to the thing you said before. It's not like he's sort of got any pretense around. It doesn't seem to be like there's a huge amount of like political principle.
Well, he's tried, but every time he's interviewed, he gives a different reason. That's the problem at the moment. So he's sort of saying, you know, it's about freedom and then it's about American interests. And then, I mean, it's quite clearly about, you know, all these things. It's kind of weird because you sort of go like, in an ideal world, I do believe in democracy. And maybe I do believe in kind of old fashioned kind of, yeah, maybe democracy by the gun, you know, like, But you'd have to do it for everyone then. If you go, well, if it matters there, why doesn't it matter then in North Korea? Why does it matter in Russia? But then, you know, if it's true that there was some sort of, they were really close to a nuclear weapon and there was an imminent threat, but we've been there before with WMDs.
We've had that.
I mean, I do think that there's a quantitative difference between Iraq and Iran. Like Iraq definitely didn't have them. Iran definitely wanted to have them and were down the road of having them.
But you can't... it's not a good analogy in terms of they're not like, oh my God, we're discovering it tomorrow. That's, you know, that's clearly not the thing that's happening. It's not like, I don't think that gives you a basis under whatever international law applies for starting a war or let's say drone strikes. It's not, the second enrichment happens, you are allowed to do a defensive strike. Look, it's in personal interest of the country. Like, as you say, he's giving different answers. I think he's sort of beyond that. I don't think we would expect America at this point, given their leadership, to give a consistent answer.
Yeah, he hasn't given a consistent answer to many things. I mean, then, you know, Iran has sort of lashed out in a slightly surprising way. People thought they would just hit US air bases, but they've sort of gone for civilian targets across the UAE, which has given rise to, I mean, like, look, I've got friends in Dubai and stuff like that.
Of course you do. Of course you do. All your mates are in Dubai.
You know, but it's just the streets are so clean. But here's the thing, like, no, but Jerry, I've been contacting my mate and, you know, like, it must be a horrible thing to go through. But he was never one of those people that would, you know, like the influencers that would just go, you know, like, that would taunt you with it. It has made me think through some of the content that I've seen that I think, in particular, female British influencers are the worst people to be in a war zone in history. They just don't know. They're going, what is actually going on? There was one girl saw us at the airport, right? And they were told not to leave it. And she was going, it's a fucking nightmare, mate. I've got like three events tomorrow.
I saw the same thing. Look, I disagree. I think I get a very anti-male for you page because I'm so misandrous. And probably because of the kind of male audience that I have on a Saturday night in a club. So I think you're probably getting, because of the algorithm you're in, you're probably just getting female influencers saying dumb shit. I'm primarily getting male influencers in Dubai saying incredibly ignorant shit. Like, still got my G-Wagon. And it's like, yeah, but babe, there's a drone strike and you can't read. Like,
yeah.
I think we're both so in it. Does that sound fair? Because also those girls would be great and more. They've got really long nails and they are aggy.
That's true.
So yeah, I would have one of those influencers.
Yeah, like if it did actually kick off, there'd be a lot of hold my earrings, you know.
Totally. I would have some like Aggie, Essex or Kent girl. Yeah, absolutely. With like really long neck. I would have her in front of me because I'd be doing some sort of strategic...
withdrawal?
I'd be doing some sort of strategic analysis, I hope. Also, I'm old, so I hope I'd be... and I'm like posh, so I hope I'd be very far back. Isn't that what used to happen in the war? Like all the posh people would be nowhere near the front line.
If that privilege is gone, really, what is the point of being middle class? Seriously.
What was the point?
The jobs pay less and we now have to fight like everybody else. Game's gone, mate. Game's gone. So Starmer, it's just classic Keir Starmer. His position was to get international law. We're not going to let the US use our air. Oh, hang on. We are going to let them use the air bases. Now, I'm going to quote somebody online that kind of summarised Starmer's approach to Iran, I think, better than anyone. The account was called The Little Platoon. And it says, number one, US asked to use British bases. We say no. Number two, tell everyone we weren't involved and hope they leave us alone. Three, oh dear, they didn't leave us alone. They're shooting missiles at our bases. Four, claim that the only way to stop this and protect British citizens is to destroy the missiles at source. 5, allowed Americans to use our bases to destroy the missiles at source. 6, refuse to help to destroy the missiles at source, even though we just said destroying them at source is the only way to end the threat to British citizens. 7, tell everyone we're not involved and hope they'll leave us alone.
It's funny. That is very funny. Yes.
I sort of feel for Starmer's team when, like, so John Healey, who's the defense secretary, had to go on telly. You've got to go on telly, you know, in the time of a military conflict. And his point was, he couldn't make a point. Are you against it? I'm not saying we're against it. Are you for it? Look, we're not saying that. What the fuck are you saying? Like,
he's not saying anything.
I mean, it's a crucial point in history, and it's not too much to ask for leadership. Whatever the thing is, lead us into that thing, right? If you think this is wrong, it's international law. But he should have been able to see that it wasn't hard to imagine that Iran might just hit British interests in the area, and at which point you would look awful if you didn't get involved on some level. I mean, his ability, Starmer, you know that phrase, the juice is worth the squeeze? He'll break his own wrist kind of getting zero juice out of an orange.
Yeah, because I guess he's such a fencer. And I've always been like sort of hated all this sort of anti-Keir stuff generally because I like measured approaches and I've always liked people that are measured and not extreme. And I think sometimes it can be really impressive. But I think the sort of repeated saying UK is not at war with Iran, like the repeated sitting on a fence in a time where, yes, someone like Donald Trump is being like incredibly impulsive and clearly has no kind of like political coherence. But at least, oh, it sounds awful. It sounds like I'm not meaning to be pro-Trump. The juxtaposition of how Trump and other people are speaking and Keir Starmer is speaking doesn't look good for Keir Starmer. It looks weak.
He always gets the worst of both worlds, right? He'll have enraged now both sides. So at the point where he pivots to they can use our air bases, it looks kind of cowardly and it looks like, you know, yet another U-turn at the most important time. When he did his first statement and he did it, you know, with the flags behind him at the lectern, and he just looks so absolutely overwhelmed by the moment. And he looks AI, but in the way that, you know, in AI, when everyone's hands were still weird, not even like he didn't even look like a good AI version of himself.
It's so frustrating because I think like his background is so good. He was obviously a really good barrister, like DPP, all that shit. I think he's just, there's something about the clipness of his voice. And I very briefly met him and people always say this, that in real life, he's sort of like really charming and normal. And then it's like the moment a camera goes on him, he just sort of becomes like, in real, I'm going to say, when I saw him at the pub, he was playing his football, plays in North London or whatever. And this is when he was it shadow Brexit secretary? And I said, we're all a bit pissed and I was doing a gig downstairs. And I just went, is it true Mr. Darcy was based on you? Because, you know, Mr. Darcy was apparently based on him because he was friends with Helen Fielding. This is Mr. Darcy from Bridget Jones, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he goes, you'll have to tell me. And everybody laughed and he was very charming. He's obviously got something about him. That does not translate.
Well, was he trying to riz you up there?
No, I was with a really fit lobbyist.
But still, though, the way you said it, I mean, I like the way Keir Starmer could make anything unsexy.
But he was charming. Like, he was charming. He just played football with a bunch of young lads.
You'll have to tell me, young lady.
People always say this, that in real life, it just sounds like the moment he gets a camera on him, I don't know if it's like constriction in expression.
The like soul. Even,
right.
Constriction of the soul.
But I mean, genuinely, like with this Iran thing, like if there was ever a time, you could say the same in Gaza, and I think that's cost him, obviously, so extremely, like, you know, it's probably the
I mean, Gaza's another example, right? Where you kind of go, there was a position, he perhaps went in too hard at the beginning where he was essentially seemed to be advocating for cutting off war, you know, like he went on LBC and said something.
Yeah, that was, but then he reneged on that. He said he didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, but then eventually he recognises the state of Palestine. But at the point he does that, the people that hate him for what he did originally hate him, and then he's also lost the other side. He has a unique ability to triangulate himself into a fucking abyss.
What most people think.
Just a quick one on the Labour minister, latest one to step down, Josh Simon. So he was the guy, did you hear about this, Davina, that was, he worked for Labour together and he commissioned this kind of PR, shady PR firm to do snooping on journalists because they'd found out some stuff and he was convinced it would be a hack and stuff. And there was a lot of pressure because it's got some quite fucking dark arts level shit that he was involved in. And then he was investigated. And so the guy that come back sort of said, well, you weren't guilty of anything under the ministerial conduct rules. But it seemed to me to be mainly because it didn't happen while he was a minister. So that doesn't seem like you're being completely exonerated. So he's come out and said, look, I'm stepping down. I didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong because you weren't a minister at that point. But the interesting thing about it is that Labour basically slipped that out on the day of the invasion. It's classic good day to bury bad. I mean, look, maybe it's just good politics, but it's pure fucking Malcolm Tucker. Like, what's that? There's a wee ward going on. Josh. I'll get me fucking Josh on the line. Josh, you sack, you prick.
It's a weird Alistair Campbell impression.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all that stuff, isn't it? It's all the dark arts. So I just didn't want Labour to get away with just slipping that out in the middle of an attack there.
All of your followers will know that they did the...
I've tweeted to my 70,000 ex-followers about this, of which at least there might still be 4 active on that platform. So I'm doing my bit to scrutinise. But I mean, just to note, that is another minister gone. And if you look at like the tracker of how many ministers resigned, this versus the early years of the coalition, there was virtually none. This is like Boris level shit going on with resignations.
Is it like an epidemic of bad behaviour, or is it like being uncovered more and people have always behaved badly? It's now just being scrutinised more?
I think there is a problem on the left is that they're emboldened by the nobility of their cause, so they have a blind spot to doing bad shit.
It's a purity thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's literally a phrase for it. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And that sort of is, you know, kind of Starmer's government in a nutshell. Just to make you aware of some stuff that Davina is doing.
I'm going to be doing the Edinburgh Festival this year at 5:30 in the Pleasance, the courtyard. So I'm going to be doing lots of work in progresses, which I have booked in. And they're all going to be on my Instagram. So follow me on Davina Bentley Comedy on Instagram.
Yeah, your stuff on Instagram is very funny. And are you up there for the whole month in
whole
August?
Whole month, doing a debut. Because I'm a new comedian, so it's time for me to do my debut. So I'll do an hour of stand up and sketch.
See, at the Edinburgh Festival, because it's all so lefty and liberal, when you say that you're 37, everyone would just applaud you for being a woman and being 37.
I'm not 37. I'm not. I'm 42. So that's it's a setup that's later undermined. That's the power of comedy.
Well, look, on this Zoom type call we've got, you can absolutely get away with being 37.
There I think you go. That's great. I put a filter on, I think.
Yeah, I did think that, yeah. You know, because I've met you in person. So yeah. Sorry, I was doing the brother thing there, a bit of teasing.
I think genuinely, what is interesting is I think we probably are both being radicalised by the internet in a subtle-ish way. Probably not that subtle.
Oh, no, I've spoken about this before. Like, we know about the manosphere. There is content that is quite negative about women. But I don't think people are aware, particularly on TikTok and Instagram, of the scale of the anti-man thing, because it plays to a visceral, which always existed with women, or men are bastards, men are shit. But it's gone fucking mental. And there are now, you'll notice, there are women that sort of like, they sort of believe in being a woman on a level that men used to think being a man was superior. Like, we're capable of greater reason, you know, but they sort of think that about
womanhood. You're describing me. You're like, I'm so misandered. I can't explain to you. This is one of the very few interactions I have with straight men. That's why there's so much pressure on you. Like, why when you know, say negative things, it cuts so deep, because, you know, I'm also being radicalized by like reality TV. I don't know if you know Love is Blind or things like that, but I think they're actually starting to rage bait about how badly men are behaved.
I think what's different between men and women is women take male behavior. And look, if you look at like violence and all that stuff like that, you know, it's a horrific thing that we always need to look at. But women take bad male behavior personally. So if a guy does something shitty to a woman on a fucking reality show, they take that personally.
You don't.
That's probably not a rational thing to do if you just want to live a happy life.
if I committed to this bit, I would pretend to like throw my laptop out the window.
Yeah.
Like how fucking dare. Yeah, it's not. And it's also, it's rage bait. Like me getting as cross that there's, but it's obviously worked. It keeps you on that algorithm. It keeps you watching Love is Blind and Married at First Sight, which is essentially reality TV shows of men being really misogynistic and sort of gaslighting women.
Well, they're just, that's the same as the algorithm, but just the TV algorithm. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about dads in the final section. Hopefully we'll say some positive thing about men.
Sorry, the way you say dads is like dads.
Underappreciated, noble, stoic dads. Men are great. Okay, we're going to talk about social media here. I mean, it's interesting. We were sort of indirectly discussing that. But as we say, Kemi Badenoch, she kind of supported an Australian-style ban on social media for under-16s. And now Keir Starmer, I guess, because he just desperately wants to say a single thing that anyone agrees with, right? You know, that's what he just wants to say a thing. Because, like, if you look at digital ID, that was popular with the public, right? Until he said it. And then everyone went, I fucking hate digital ID. It's the worst. I've always been against it. So he's just like, look, does anybody agree with me on this? And some people do agree with him. So naturally, it's gone to consultation now.
Yeah.
But I just want to kind of like, it would be, I would imagine that a lot of people listening to this podcast would be like, yeah, absolutely, take it away from them. I just wonder, right, is it simple? We don't really know what the long-term stuff is coming out of Australia. And I wonder if what people think is that we'll take away social media and all the kids will go back to being fucking Enid Blyton kids and they will go, we'll go and skim some stones and just go walking around the meadows and stuff. I'm not 100% sure this is a silver bullet.
No, but I don't think anyone thinks it's a... It can't be worse. I think you're being quite contrarian. The Australia thing, it only happened last year, so there won't be results for years, but it definitely can't be worse than men manosphering. But, you know, boys are now all kind of got body dysmorphia, so they seem to have sort of caught eating disorders off the internet. It's all pretty, pretty fucking bad. Some kids have ended up killing themselves from doing challenges, being bullied to death. I don't know if this consultation is related to that campaign of parents who there was a sort of group that were campaigning, but it cannot be a bad thing. Like, how could this be bad?
Well, because we've lived in a world where we've stripped away their real world freedoms, right? So if you suddenly say kids sit around on screens, so do adults, by the way. Look, I'm not saying I'm definitely, I'm just thinking like a blanket ban that comes in out of nowhere, like anything. If we're saying, right, here's the logic. If you're saying kids are addicted to a thing, with like all addictions, you don't go cold turkey because that can cause more damage, right? So you'd have to look at a structured way of doing this. But I worry with this Labour government who just want to be popular, they'll take it all away. But are parents ready to give kids free world, real world things where they just go, Mum, Dad, I'm going into, like, I'm 16, I'm going into town at the weekend and you're not going to pick me up and I'm going to turn off the fucking GPS on my watch and you can't have a drone following me?
I think, yeah, look, I don't know if the two go together because you could still be like, you're not going into town raving till 6 a.m. I'm going to collect you from whatever Guildford town centre. Also stop being on your phone 8 hours a day. Like, I don't know. I don't think they'd necessarily correlate, but I still think you can have one without the other. I still think take away their phones. Also just porn. It's so bad. Like, children are seeing porn at such a young age. It's their poor little brains. Like, it's going to fuck them up for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I agree with you. I think the idea, particularly of young men, like having their sexual identities forged by what porn is, which is just such an it's an unsexy version of sex porn. That's what I've always thought. And I've got to say, because I'm generally libertarian, like stay out unless they have to. I mean, that's, you know, that's still subjective. Since the porn ban, I can only talk from a personal level, right? I'm not going to fucking make an account to watch this shit. I do think it's helped me. Like, I just think, like, just not having those occasional moments where you look at some absolute fucking filth. I think I can't deny that has been a good thing. And that's quite challenging to me, you know. But the idea, I would have always, you know, it's always a horrific thing for young men to see. Because the incidence of erectile dysfunction in young men have gone up dramatically, you know, because, like, how can I compare what real sex is like to this nonsense that they're seeing online?
Right. And then it's the ever shifting, more extreme. And the person, you know, if you're heterosexual, the person that has to deal with this, it is women. Like, the increased, you know, choking and extreme sort of sex and sort of performative sex that women are subject to because they think at 16, this is what normal sex looks like. And obviously it's insane shit they've seen online since they were 10.
But we talk about two separate, I mean, like porn isn't social media.
Totally. No. But access to porn is through their phone. I've heard about, I mean, I was so shocked, but like kids, you know, is it a VCR that you can actually bypass? Probably shouldn't tell you this because it sounds like it's doing you a world of good, but I think you can bypass the porn.
Oh, VPN.
Sorry, VPN. That was such a mum.
VCR.
I'm dyslexic. Leave me alone. Letters. There's a V in it.
VCR, you know, like my mum used to, she never could work out the difference between a Mega Drive and a Game Boy. And even when, like, it was PlayStation 4, she was like, always got one of them Mega Drive things. It's almost like she didn't want to know.
That's sort of where I am. That's how I feel about a VPN, whatever I just said, VCR.
Was that visible panty line? VPL.
I think you're
VPL.
Betraying more of yourself now. Like, I may be heavily dyslexic.
I wasn't being ranked there. They are closely as a close
thing. It was a big thing in the early 2000s, was that we seem to be very concerned with the visible panty line for some reason.
I wonder with phones, you talk about a lot of intergenerational unfairness. My son pointed out to me the other day, like I was talking to him about, you know, walking down the stairs and being aware and stuff like that. He said, you literally look at your phone as you're walking down the stairs. And I was like, yep, that's true. And also, I'm often doing that as I'm preparing to go to the toilet to look at my phone the whole time I'm on the toilet. It is tricky, isn't it? Like, how much intergenerational unfairness can you have? I think I've used this example before, but I remember it was like when I was a kid, everyone in my family smoked and they would always hold up the cigarettes and say to me, don't you ever get started on this. And I would think, but you're doing it, so it must be something good about
it. Right,
that.
It's
like,
an advert.
You do it all the time. Like, there must be something good about this. Don't pretend that there isn't. So there are good things about, you know, social media. You know, every once in a while, like, I do think in a situation like where someone like Peter Mandelson or Andrew gets arrested, social media really comes into
it. It is, but not for an under 16-year-old. Like, your brain is not formed. Like, these kids, just looking at young people, the body obsession. Like, I thought eating disorders were bad because I went to a private girls' school. They were pretty bad. But the eating disorders amongst young men, like body dysmorphia amongst young men, you know, like 14, 13-year-old boys going to the gym. This is insanity. Like, why is a 13-year-old boy in the gym?
Well, do you know, a lot of people talk about X and all the places that you argue about politics. The worst website in terms of mental health outcomes is Instagram for women.
Of course.
But the thing about that is mainly they're watching other women, right? It's all content. It's a kind of funny thing where, you know what they said about objectifying women? Like, we've got to stop that. So they took it out of Page Three, they took it out of Nuts magazine. And it was like, what happened was women said, right, we'll objectify ourselves. So at least there's a bit of agency there. But the net effect, I wonder if it's any better. Bring back Page Three.
No, you just raced over tits next to news. Like, also, I used to work with those girls. I used to work with the agency that was the sister agency. They were 17-year-old girls, like... They were girls
Now you're making me nonce Jason.
But I'm making you fully nonce Jason. I met those girls. They were so sweet and they were fucking young. And they
All right, what about Nuts to Lads Mags? All right, given the choice, remember how angry people were with Lads Mags then? If you could swap online porn now to go back to Nuts and Zoo, that would be a better position, right?
Stop advocating for Nuts and Zoo. Just see women as people who are people you can have sex with. They're not sex objects. They're not.
I can do both. I can
admire
the female form.
Wow, stop taking it so personally, Jeff. It's like me with Married at First Sight. It's not about the individual. This is a societal basis. I just think, can we just agree that having tits next to news, and again, it was the tits, not just one, it was two, of a 17-year-old next to news was never a good idea.
I think we could agree on that, but I do think the Lads Mags were better than porn.
What most people think.
Okay, debate. Thank you for agreeing, Davina, with that. We are now, she's not agreeing at all. We're now going to go into discussing how brilliant dads are, and I won't take any of this more misandry bullshit. In the Patreon only, for everybody else, it'll be the end of the show. For the patron only, this simmering sort of male-female thing that's been building up throughout the show did break out into almost open conflict there. But I think we ended up in a good place. And Davina Bentley, what a week to make a debut. I think it's been a fascinating conversation. Do you know what I mean? It's one of the things about this podcast, right? Most podcasts are two people, same two people every week. But I take the risk of having people with different views and stuff like that. So the listenership, you've got to have the fucking balls, all the ovaries, to withstand like lots of different kinds of people. And that is fairly unique in podcasting. And I appreciate that you'll probably have really liberal, wokey friends that will probably disown you for even being on this podcast. Because
the old pure, what's it called? The old, not purity spiral. It's like the purity stick.
The purity test. Yeah. Because I'm such a fucking edgelord. Eh?
It's fine. You've been on Radio 4. It's, I know.
Cleansed
you.
Yeah. Having said that, there are still people. I still have meetings where people are like, I'm not sure how our employees would feel about it if we work with you. So I'm not an edgelord, but there are some that think I am. Davina, you are at the Edinburgh Festival. You do gigs. People should see you. You're very funny. They should check out your social media. And thanks very much for being on What Most People Think.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. And listen, with things as they are, I don't know. There'll probably be a breaking news episode this week, but let's see how it goes.